Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood! My name is Nikki Carulla with my co-host Josh Ledoux.
Why, hello.
How are you, man?
Good, how are you?
Dude, I'm good. How was your week? What'd you do?
It was good. I rushed here right now, though.
You rushed. You were like in the mix of traffic.
There's accidents everywhere. Speed over here.
And you were like very confident when I called you. I'm like, where are you? And you're like, ah, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Waze said 5 minutes. You gotta trust Waze.
You know what? I trust Google Maps.
They use Waze.
Oh, well,
it's owned by Waze is owned by Google.
I didn't know this. See, you know the inner workings of the web.
Google owns everything.
Google owns everything. They really do all the research. And they're like, we're just going to do whatever we want.
Spare money. They just have hundreds of millions, if not billions, just hanging around.
That's no fun. This is no fun. It's like, what do? You just control the world, and then what? Nothing.
They control
it. Not a mucho.
They control it.
You know, I saw this thing on the headlines. Like, you know, they're building a car that can drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get it through the Department of Transportation and approved and everything.
And they want to use it with Uber.
Yes.
Because they own a huge portion of Uber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, that is crazy.
So
that
imagine just pulling up an Uber, a car with no driver
no
pulls
driver,
up.
And it's going to take you there.
Yeah.
And a car with no driver is better than any drunk driver that's driving and most drivers that drive.
Yeah, the problem right now, though, because they've done hundreds of thousands of miles on these cars already. And Apple has one, too. I've seen it twice, actually, on the road. It's a van. But the problem is people are still too dumb.
Yeah,
and
well,
so
people are always going to be dumb.
The car can avoid, but they can't expect a regular human to come in and crash into it.
You hear that? See, that's my...
Barely.
Let's turn up... one of my tracks is low. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I don't know which number.
Anyways, it's usually four... You know what? One of the blue ones. Turn one of the blue ones up. Yeah, let's see what that... Nope. That's not it. Nope. That's all right. Well, forget it. We'll work it out. Anyways.
I was having problems last time, though, remember?
What else? What else did you do with your week? Do anything crazy? Fun?
Nothing crazy. Big Brother. My guilty pleasure. Big Brother.
It's back. It's back and badder than ever.
I like Big Brother. You watch that?
You know what? I never got into that show, but everybody loves it.
I did like the last like 3 years, and it's like... There was a part of me kind of embarrassed by it, but then I was like, it's on 3 times a week. It has live feeds 24 hours a day online,
right.
And it's 18 seasons, so I'm definitely not the only one that likes this show.
And it's, you know what? It's crazy. In London, it is humongous.
Yeah.
To the point where people have a channel where they can watch the entire cast.
You can watch it
online. You watch online. Where it's like nonstop.
All day,
like,
every day.
Dude, what's what?
Yeah,
what's the point of that?
Crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
All right, so tell me what's the most interesting thing about it that you've seen? Watching it.
For me, the fun thing to watch is, like, especially if you watch some of the, like, live feeds, if you do watch some of those, you get to see, like, the inner workings and who is working together. But the person that they're, like, all teaming up against have no clue that they're doing it.
That's weird.
And so, like, when you watch the show, you know who's going to get kicked off before that person even knows they're going to get kicked off, which is, like, fun to watch.
So is it the drama that you're drawn to?
I don't know about drama.
Is it the car wrecks?
Just
of
people, yeah. Just they have a bunch of random people on, and like people being shady. Beautiful people are on it. A bunch of beautiful people. I don't know. It's fun. I have no clue.
But there's always like a combination of chemistries that do not work.
Oh yeah,
it's like the real world. You know, like
yeah,
the, like
totally.
The MTV show.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be interesting if everyone just got along and hung out every day.
Oh man, but it's crazy. It's like you get caught up in these people's lives.
Totally.
And then after a year, it's just a whole new set of people.
Oh yeah. Well, sometimes they bring people back, but for the most part, yeah, it's a whole new cast every year.
And it's in a different city? Like, how does
it
work?
It's always here in LA. I think it's at Paramount Studios, but they're in a studio lot for 3 months in this house that they built.
That's nuts.
It's crazy.
And they don't work or anything? They just like
they live? Get paid to be there. They get paid as actors while they're there.
Just to hang out at the house.
Yeah, and then they get $500,000 to be the winner.
Wait, so you get voted off based on?
The House votes. So you each vote each other out, and you go into like an anonymous like voting room. And you'll say who you're.
So it's like Survivor without any of the danger.
Same producers as Survivor and Amazing Race and all that. It's all the same producers.
So I'm just trying to like wrap my head around it.
Should watch it.
I guess I should watch it. Is it one of those shows I can just start from the beginning? I mean, start like anytime.
Yeah, you can start now. Still, it's still like the first week, so you could easily start.
There's no like drama I should know about beforehand.
Not really. But you know, they have to wear like right now. There's a bunch of people wearing pixel outfits, so they look nude and they just have like a pixel costume on, and it's like because they lost one of the challenges, but they have to go a whole week wearing just pixels.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That is wild.
It's good.
Well, I saw Cat Williams over the weekend.
Oh, I seen that. How was that?
He was so funny, man. I mean. Like, he's got some specials that are, like, they blow my mind. They're, like, super funny.
I like when he plays the hustling song.
Dude, you know what's awesome? Like, there's all this hype about him getting in a fight with, like, a high school kid. Did you hear about this?
No, I have not.
So he got in a fight with, like, a 17-year-old kid, and he's a short guy, that was just totally dogging on him. And, you know, he got in the headlines, so he's always getting in trouble, you know? But his whole bit, like, he was talking about how much he gets in trouble all the time. Yeah. And he started talking about this situation. He was like, he said, if you look at that video in slow-mo, you can see me up against the wall. And I'm just saying, you know, Jesus, come help me right now because this kid's talking a lot of smack. You know, it's just like, he just revs, like, he gives you the whole, like, you know, behind the scenes of what he was going through to fight a high school kid. But, like, the kid, you know, was like a punk. He was like a punk kid. But it's so odd because he's like a grown man.
He does get in trouble. Like, what was it? A few years ago, he had a gun at the airport or something.
Yeah. Right? No. He does that stuff all the time. Yeah. And, like, he knows it, too. He's like, man, I got arrested Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and next Monday all in one week. And it's like, he just has funny.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah. And he said the funniest, it was the most clever thing I've heard about, like, the anti-Trump kind of, like, philosophy. He was talking about Donald Trump, and he was like, you know, Trump was always saying, like, let's build a wall. And he's like, how are you going to build a wall against the people that build the best tunnels in the world? You know, it's just like, man, this guy's thinking. He's clever. Yeah, yeah. He's clever. And then I went to one of our guests from about 3 weeks ago. They put on a play, and it was a play called It's a Disaster Live.
Okay.
And our guest tonight rescheduled his slot so that this play could be on 2 weeks ago because it was the only time they could do the slot. But anyways, their show opened this last week, and it was a play based on a movie that one of the guys, one of our guests, he wrote that had like David Cross in it, America Ferrera.
Nice.
It's kind of like an indie movie, and the play was the, you know, just like a play version, an adaptation of the movie. So I was like, should I watch the movie before I see the play? Because it's like, you know, the audience is involved. Like, it's in a bar, and the audience becomes part of the play.
Right, okay.
So, and it's about the end of the world. Like, it's Armageddon. What does everybody do? And the audience becomes part of the situation. It takes place at an open mic.
Very nice.
Anyways, it was super fun.
Okay, but
man,
cool.
Where is it at? The entire play, I was anxious. Like, I'm like, please don't call on me. Don't call on me. Please don't ask me to do anything. Let me just sit here in the corner. Let me just enjoy myself. And luckily, nobody called on me. Nice. So it was great.
Where is it at, though?
It was at a place called, I think it was called Golden Coast Brewery. Golden Road Brewery. That's it.
I think
nice.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Nice. Yeah, Glendale. Nice. It was super cool. Glendale. Yeah, and like, you walk into the bar, and like, there's just like a regular bar, but there's this back room where took everybody.
That place is big too.
It's huge.
The whole outdoor area.
It's huge. It's huge. So it was super fun. It was a lot of fun. So
awesome.
I had kind of like a leisurely entertainment filled weekend.
So different from your other weekends.
No, actually, you know, there are a lot of weekends where I don't want to do anything except stay home and watch movies.
I hear that.
You know that.
Now you can stay home and watch Big Brother.
Dude, that's what I'm gonna do. But there's so many shows I need to catch up on. I mean, it's like crazy.
It's true.
It's too much.
Yeah.
What's a show you want to watch that you haven't watched yet?
Everyone keeps telling me I have to watch Game of Thrones, and I still haven't watched.
Oh my god, you haven't seen Game of Thrones?
Not a single episode.
Okay, it's amazing.
I hear it.
Okay, the show that everybody, like, I love Breaking Bad. Everybody tells me I got to see Better Call Saul.
I heard it's not as good
as Breaking Bad, but I heard it's good if you.
But I haven't seen that show either.
Oh,
Breaking Bad.
You got a lot of homework.
I know.
Jeepers!
I hear you.
Jeepers Creepers! Well, it looks like our guest has arrived, Mr. Deontay Bolden. We're going to do an analog applause.
Do I have applause?
You know what? You do have applause. You know, one of my tracks is down. It shouldn't be. And look at, it should be 15 and 16. Do you see 15 and 16? Yeah, turn those up.
It's up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a long applause.
Yep, anyways. Deontay Bolden, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're good, man.
How you feeling? Good to be on the radio?
Wait, hold on. You brought your mom, too, man. Say hello. Quick. Just a quick hi.
Hello.
If you're sitting in the chair, I got to at least acknowledge you on the air, right?
I gotta acknowledge mom.
So, Deontay Bolden, you are the creator, writer, and director of a web series called The Price of Fame,
yes,
correct?
The Price of Fame, uh-huh.
So, tell me how you came about with this, you know, idea and the story and how you put it all together.
Well, basically was my experience when I first moved out to L.A., you know, coming out here and having friends and people who I know that are trying to get into the industry. Basically, I watch some reality shows as well, and I see some of the crazy things that people would do just to become famous. You know, they'll turn on their friends and their loved ones and things like that. And it was basically a concept and idea that I had a couple of years ago, and I never started writing until I actually moved here and realized that you have to create opportunities for yourself. So I was like, I have all this good stuff that I'm seeing, and I need to create something to put a message out there of some of the crazy things that people do.
Well, what was the trigger? You had to see something where you were like, man, I can't believe people do this to do this.
Well, one of my guilty pleasures that I'm embarrassed to say, but I do watch, is Love and Hip Hop. And that's okay. One of those things that it's just crazy to see some of the things that people do to become famous.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Know, I got to write about this, you know, because some people just go through these links just to become famous. They'll, you know, sell themselves. They'll do all these sex tapes and all these crazy things just to get, you know, publicity. So I was like, I really need to write something to talk about this foolishness, you know, that people do. So a lot of people can relate to the series because they say that a lot of these characters are people that they actually know. And they're like, do you know these characters? I was like, some of them, but some of them I made up. But some of these people I actually really do know.
So. Do you have like a cast of people that you work with normally, or do you kind of just bring people in for...
Well, I have a set cast for this, but each season I create a new character to kind of bring in to keep it, you know, spicy. So
spicy!
You gotta keep it spicy, you know, and keep people interested in, like, what's going to happen next.
Well, I watched a lot of the episodes. I think I watched 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you start to see, like, oh, there's going to be some drama there. Ooh, there's going to be some conflict there. And then it's like, you're like, who's this character? How's this going to play out? You know what I mean? Like, you get sucked in. You get sucked into the drama. So, like, what was one of the biggest obstacles you had writing the conflicts and coming up with the drama? See, I'm asking hardball questions, Josh. I don't play easy. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is all the stuff that people want to know. You know, because it's not easy to just write stuff.
Right.
And then put it out there and then direct it and all of that. So, you know, part of the joy of seeing the finished product is knowing the obstacle.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, knowing what you went through. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Whether it's like shooting it or casting the right characters or coming up with the characters. What for you were like some of the obstacles you went through?
I went through a lot of obstacles, I could say. When you said it, I was like, where do I start? One of the obstacles was getting someone to shoot it. Actually, when you first start a web series, you know, especially when you're new to all of this, people are not willing to invest their time in you. So you got to kind of prove yourself, you know, like, this is good. And, you know, I had a friend who I actually was friends with when I first started my web series, but I realized that a lot of people are not really your friends who say they're your friends.
Right.
So
you hear that, Josh? The jury's still out on you, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then you have those people
putting my time in
that sign on with you, and you know, as actors, and you know, you have those divas and divos who, you know, think that they're Hollywood,
of course, yeah.
Things, and if they don't get paid in the beginning, you know, they just kind of treat your project as if it's something that's not important. So you got to know how to fire certain people and bring other people on. So you kind of go through a lot of things out here, but it only makes you stronger, because at the end of the day, you know, it's success, and you know, I'm proud that I kept moving forward. You know,
that's the biggest thing. As a creator too, it's like, not only do you have to like either fund it or just you have to be the cheerleader of the whole thing. Like, hey, this is an idea. I think we could all benefit from it. This is going to be fun. And it's like, sometimes that's not enough for people. They want it on a silver platter.
And money.
And money.
You know, I tried to do some web series stuff too and some skits. My biggest problem is it was hard to release it because I'm like embarrassed when I watch it myself. That's like one of the biggest problems. But to what you're saying, like, a lot of people don't want to do it for free. You know, and it's like, they're just starting out. They never had an acting gig. And it's like, well, this is a brand new project. I'm not going to pay you big bucks to do a
web series. I totally see that.
And it's like they can use it for the reel. They can use it for so much stuff that they should be happy to
do it. There's never there's never an effect that is not started with a cause. You know what I mean? So there's if you make an effort to do something, there's going to be a reaction. Every action has a reaction. You know what I mean? And a lot of people take that for granted. They're like, oh, I want to be famous. Where's my contract? Where's the pay? But it's like you gotta pay your dues.
Yeah, definitely.
And you need experience. And it's like that's gonna help you get there to that opportunity you want.
You know, a lot of these people that do skits and stuff are doing improv, which they are paying to do improv somewhere. Right. You know, like they're actually paying someone else to put a show on. And so they should be happy that they get opportunities.
Hey,
someone's willing. Yeah,
Deontay, we salute you, man.
Definitely,
we're with you, man. We're behind you all the way. So okay, so you've cast everybody. How long was the casting process?
Well, I actually started casting probably about April of last year, I think, and it took me about a good month to find my cast because I'm very picky. You know, I don't just put anybody in.
Right.
You have to really show me. You know, when I write the characters, I envision certain people playing it. So usually, I know when an actor comes in if I want them to play that character or not. And then you have some people that you kind of picked, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have did that. So you kind of gotta, you know.
Was that like a friend of yours that you were like, all right, I'll cast you?
That's one thing I don't do. I don't hire my friends because I try to keep business and pleasure separate. Because a lot of times when your friends sign on with you, they think, oh, I know him. And, you know, I have one friend who I did for the part of Brianna that I brought on, and I love her, Monet. But sometimes it's hard when you're working with your friends because they think they can just take advantage of
you. Oh, yeah.
When I create something and when I'm working on my series, it's business and professional. You got to show up on time. You got to do your work, know your lines.
Oh, isn't that so stressful? Yeah. Like, for me as a band leader, that's like the craziest. Like, those are all the stresses that everybody takes for granted. Like, people showing up on time, making their flights, or making it to the bus or the van, or making it to the gig. Whatever it is, having their instrument, I mean, basic stuff that you're like, you're a guitar player, you bring a guitar to your gig.
Right.
What do you mean you left your guitar in the car or your saxophone or your drums? Like, man, I've been through that. So when you're talking about a huge production like this, it's like you're babysitting 20 people all at once, right?
Right, and you got to make sure everybody gets the message of when they're supposed to show up and a lot of things. And a lot of people who I'm working with, they're beginning actors.
Right.
So it's like I'm giving them an opportunity. And, you know, sometimes you got to get certain people straight and be like, hey, you know, this is business, you know. So, you know, you're preparing people because, you know, I'm looking for this project to go far. So it's like when we do make it big, you know, God's willing, you know, I want them to be able to be professional, you know, represent.
Yeah.
Because you just never know where you're going. So
that's the other problem about little pay or not much pay is that people don't show up on time. They don't take it serious sometimes, which is
But
so
you know
shady.
What? It's like, that's bullshit.
It
like,
is bullshit.
You know what? Like, people have to show up on time if they care about the work.
Totally.
Right?
All about the work.
And it's like, you did so much work to put it together, write the script, get the arrangements for where you're going to shoot, who's going to shoot, what shots you're going to get, who's going to be in it. They take all, people just take that for granted because it's so much organization.
Yeah, see, and the thing about me, I don't have sympathy for that because of the fact that I'm an actor first. When I first came out here, there's might be two or three projects that I got paid for since I've been out here, and I've been an actor first, so I've been on both sides of the fence.
Right.
And as an actor, I'm passionate about my craft. So when actors come to me and be like, well, I'm not getting paid for this, it's like, I know that feeling, and it's like, it's about the work and about the craft. And you can't come to Hollywood expecting to just get into it and get paid.
Right.
You know, you have to just, like you say, you have to pay your dues. And we're all out here trying to strive to get paid. You know, of course I want to get paid for what I do.
Yeah.
But until I do, you know, you got to work hard and you got to show your dedication. And then someone will see that and then want to invest in you. So
One of the biggest lessons I learned, like I did a session with a big musician who's played with like Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, all these big people. And he, you know, we were talking like after, between takes. And he said, you know, anytime you, you know, want to do more takes, don't hesitate. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm a stickler about, you know, getting it right. And he's like, yeah, it's crazy how many musicians at any level or artists, like, they just don't want to put in the work.
Right.
And he's like, you know, why don't we try this again because you love to do it, right? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, totally. Like, let's do another take because you love to act.
Right.
Let's do another, you know, series or another season because this can go the distance because you believe in it, right?
Right.
So let me ask you this. You're writing the screenplay. You cast everybody. You've chosen the shots. Tell me something that you didn't expect to go right that did go right.
Little Caesars $5 pizzas.
No, there's always like, you know, like I shot a music video and there's like things you didn't expect that happened. You know what I mean? Could be little things. It doesn't matter. It could be anything. You know what I mean?
I didn't expect, you mean after everything was complete?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't expect people, I guess that's just my confidence level. I didn't expect people to really, I didn't expect this web series to be as loved by a lot of people. I didn't expect people to hit me up when I put that web series out there and be like, you know, this is really, really good. You know, I mean, I was confident in it, but I wasn't that confident. And then next thing you know, it got accepted to the Miami Web Fest.
I just saw that. Congrats. Yeah,
nice. Very nice.
Miami Web Fest. So I'm nominated for an award for it. And so a lot of things that's exciting. I didn't really expect, you know, because I was like, oh, this is just an idea. This is actually the first project I ever wrote, you know.
That's crazy.
I was like, okay, you know, people are really liking it. So it kind of gave me more confidence to say, okay, this is something that, you know, you're really good at, so you need to just go forth. And now I'm creating another web series, Wicked, which is going to come out next year. I'm starting my new film in a couple of weeks called When Pride Comes Before the Fall. We start shooting next week, the film. So it's like, it's helped me to, you know, continue to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's backtrack a little bit. So where did you come from? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Washington, D.C. I grew up in I grew up in Southern Virginia, which is Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Love Virginia Beach. That's one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
Yeah, after my mom and dad divorced, my mom, she was a single parent. We moved to Virginia. And I pretty much did most of my growing up in Northern Virginia when I started high school, which is like Fredericksburg, Stafford, Virginia. If you're not from there, then you probably don't know.
I know Roanoke. I know places in. Yeah. Do you ever? You know, I studied music in Winchester, Virginia. Do you know Winchester? Small city. It's like 50 miles east, I think, of D.C. or south. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
I've heard of Winchester.
But man, I fell in love with Virginia. Like it just. It's like the perfect escape, and it just gives you so many like sources of inspiration. There's a lot of creative juices flowing in that place, and creative minds, and people that are artistic. So, is that what was the bug that like that's when you caught the bug to want to do something like this?
No, I was actually sick of Virginia because I grew up there, so I was like, I want to experience something else. So, I mean, I did acting when I first learned it. I started acting in school, elementary school.
So you did like school productions?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about those. What did you do?
Talent shows. I took drama. I did Julius Caesar, Othello. Those kind of plays. I did a lot of talent shows, church plays. My mom, she can kind of give the embarrassing story.
She's but, like, yes, I can. You better be good.
Yeah, then I also took drama in school when I went to college. I went to Chauhan University and Mary Washington University in Virginia. So I kind of, you know, got into the drama part, but as far as writing, I started writing actually when I moved here, because when I moved here, a lot of my friends were like, you know, there's so many actors, but there are not enough people that are creating their own materials, and they was like, you know, if I could give you any advice, you should really start writing, because instead of waiting around, which I got frustrated when I went to auditions, mm-hmm. and people were like, I'm going to call you back, and I was like, I got the part, and then 3 weeks later, I'm like, where's the phone call?
Where's it?
Yeah, so crickets. I just said, you know what?
It's tough.
Just start creating your own stuff, at least while I'm waiting and going out and auditioning, I'm also creating my own stuff, and I'm also being seen at the same time. So
yeah, and making contacts, you're, you know, people are viewing your material. Right. You have
it makes you better too.
Yeah,
it makes you stronger. Like right. like the more I feel like every part of art is connected. So every part that you kind of venture in, it strengthens your other arts.
Right.
So like now you see how to direct actors
right.
because you were an actor right. and are an actor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now as you direct actors, you're like. Oh, okay, I get this in a different way. It's going to make you a better director.
Right.
Acting makes you better. I mean, directing makes you a better actor. Being an actor makes you a better director.
Right.
Being a writer makes you understand, like, the power of spoken word, mm-hmm. right? So it's like little inflections and things. You can direct them. It's, like, all connected. That's what the beauty of it, you know? So what was the first scene that you wrote? Was it, did you write it from the beginning?
Yeah, I actually just Man. Wrote it from... It's funny because when I first started writing The Price of Fame, it got so good that I just couldn't stop writing. So the next thing you know, I had a whole first season.
Nice.
I was like, oh, this is good.
We're like, oh, man.
I actually wrote, I actually had 5 seasons written. I just.
Oh, wow.
2 seasons. Because once I started writing, I wrote like 4 seasons within a week. because it was just really, really good. I was like, what's going to happen next? And I had to just kind of take a break from it. Like, okay. You know, and then writer's block came, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to set it aside for a while. But then a couple of weeks ago, I wrote season 5. So
that's crazy.
Awesome. So how many seasons have you filmed?
Two seasons. We're actually going to start filming season 3 in September, right after the film.
Very nice.
It's cool, too, because it's like you see dynamics. It's like they're building it grassroots, too. That's the way to do it.
Right.
It's such a slow burn, but, man, it's the best way to do it. That's how I built with everything I've done in music. You know, right. Josh knows. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a slow journey.
But and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, look at Broad City. Yep. Broad City is huge. I mean, they were just a online show. I mean, they did the same thing. They had a little YouTube show going on.
I don't know Broad City. I've never heard of it.
You've never seen Broad City?
No.
It's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, it's these two girls that live in New York City, and they just, like, go around and get high, and they have, like, shitty jobs.
You're a pervert, Josh.
It's hilarious. The show is hilarious. And they started out as a web series.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
All right, so when did you start filming?
I started filming last year because it was my New Year's resolution last year. So I started filming around April of last year.
And how many hours of footage did you get for the first season? Because you have to edit. That's the hardest part, I feel.
Yeah.
With, like, you have to figure out, like, you have to choose your battles. I need to edit this down. Or, you know what, I didn't get the shot because the lighting wasn't right. Or, like, the sound wasn't right. Or, like, maybe you didn't get the right take. It's like, those are the things I get anxiety when I watch. Like, I'm a huge movie buff. When I watch behind the scenes of, like, a Scorsese film or something like that, and you see how they just are, they put it together and assemble a plan. It gives me anxiety because I'm like, oh my God, like so many things can go wrong. You're asking for trouble. Like Clint Eastwood takes the first one or two takes.
Yeah.
It's like there's no guarantee that that's going to be completely right every time. You know what I mean? But he gets the moment, he gets what he needs and moves on. But he doesn't, like there are things like in the editing lab, you're like, maybe the lighting's not perfect or maybe the sound is not perfect or maybe, you know what I mean? There's so many things that can go wrong. So when you started filming to when you finished, how many hours of footage did you have for the first season?
It was probably, because it's like 30 minutes. For
each one is 30 minutes, right?
Yeah. I would say, but that was one of the things, that was the issue for the first season. I didn't really... First season could have been better, but of course I
went. Hey, no excuses, none of that.
But we
you're your own critic, man.
We didn't have the sound the way I wanted it for the first season, but that was one of my journeys for this growth, because the first season, if you look at the first season and you look at the second season, there's so much growth because, you know, I started developing a crew and people who started seeing the first season, like, I really want to hop on the second season. Nice. I can make it better. So that was the best part about it. But I would say we had a good about, because it's 5 episodes per season for 30 minutes. So I would say we had about a good 3-4 hours of shooting.
Wow. Do you do your own editing or you have an editor?
No, I have an editor. I kind of know my strengths. My strength is just writing and directing, and I kind of let an editor come on, which I'm a part of a team now, a group of artists that help each other. It's called Urban Artists Media Group, and they've signed on for the third season.
Very nice.
We're going to have the sound, we're going to have the lights, everyone around. So
it's it's funny, there's so many unsung heroes in a production like that. Right. It's like the editor is such a huge part of the vision
editing
of a movie.
Tons to a
you know
movie.
What I mean? Even like a cinematographer or a cameraman.
Yeah.
Or the sound guy. You know what I mean? It's like there's so many people that's like are not the heroes of a movie, but without them, the movies suffer. You know what I mean? So
you
it's like
write a great script, but if you don't have a good editor and a good cinematographer, DP, it could just.
I mean, editing's everything. When all the noise you hear anywhere is done, post, because everything's dead silent when you're on set.
And that's
nothing
crazy
going.
To me. So to me, I'm like, man, that's nuts.
All the street noise, chatter that's going on is all done in post. It's nothing.
Not only that, too. It's like, let's say there's a scene, like you have some scenes outside. Mm-hmm. I think your first scene, you're like walking and you like bump into one of the characters and you kind of give a little attitude. I was like, man, I wonder if he's like super. I wonder if he's like. Gonna be cool, or if he's gonna be like this guy, like your character from on the screen for that first episode, you're like so laid back in person, but that character, you're like, oh hey, like you just give an attitude, like, right. Uh huh, yeah, good to see you, yeah, I'll see you around. Like, it was like, oh man, this has got some spice. Right. The funny thing is, I didn't know that you were the director when I was watching it until I actually did the research. I was like, oh, that's who this directing this whole thing. And it's like, that is a testament to the acting. Like, I gotta say, that was one of the coolest things, was knowing you can usually spot a director in a movie. Like, there's something about, you know, you could just see, like, oh yeah, that's the director. Like Todd Phillips.
Or at least someone skilled.
Todd Phillips, for example. Do you know Todd Phillips from Hangover or what are the other movies? He did Due Date. So whenever I see him in a movie, it's like blatantly obvious. I'm like, that's the director, you know, because he just doesn't have the acting chops, or you could tell he's a little bit uncomfortable with whatever character he's doing, even if it's like a 30-second thing. But you were like, I'm going to own this. I'm going to be this character. It's going to cause a little bit of conflict. Yeah. You don't know what I'm up to, but you know there's something, you know?
Right.
So I thought that was cool. But, you know, a scene like that that's outside, maybe you mic it and you get the shot, but later in post, the audio is not completely like consistent. Like those are the things that I would have anxiety over shooting it, because those are factors that are out of your hands that you're not going to be able to see completely. So when you're shooting it, are you like watching every scene? Are you, how are you kind of like making sure you got everything that you want for your, for each scene or show?
Most of the scenes, I'm just watching the scene as it takes place, and if I see something, I'm like, okay. Outside scenes can be very difficult sometimes because of the noise and the driving.
People walking by.
People walking by and trying to get in your shot.
Get that dog out of the shot.
Yeah. So, pretty much, yeah, if I'm actually acting in it, you know, I kind of depend on the DP to kind of let me know, hey, that might not look good or whatever. But, of course, this third season, I'm going to have an assistant director as well. So that's all about growing and developing over time.
Yeah, you need somebody else to have the eyes and ears of...
The first two seasons, I was kind of the one man person trying to do everything. So
That's tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, starting out, like I said, you got to do what you got to do to get where you need to be.
Totally.
But so now I have the assistant director who will be kind of stepping in and be like, hey, you know, that doesn't look right. Let's try that again or something like that.
Especially if you have like a lot of actors come on, or if you start using more like background people, like then you need to have like an assistant director, because you can't go up to every single person and tell them what they're going to be doing.
Right.
That's crazy.
And did you have to do any rewrites on the fly?
I added some scenes in sometimes. As I'm going on with the scene or I see something, I'm like, that looks kind of bland. Let me put something else in there. Let me add another character to that. So that comes over time. And sometimes you don't catch that until you're actually filming.
You give me anxiety right now thinking about all these things.
What about improv? Is there any improv when you're on set?
Yeah. Sometimes... as a director, you'll be kind of sitting there and you'll look at a scene and you'll be like, add that in there, or, you know, try this, or, you know, improv this or something like that to kind of, you know, spice up the scene a little bit. Because sometimes when you film something, you'll be like, when you wrote it, you'll be like, that's a little dry. You know, let's add a little something else in there to make it, you know, look good. So, yeah, you'll have your improv in or something like that. And sometimes I always tell my actors, too, if you want to try something, ask me, because some actors just want to kind of get in front of the camera and then be like, that's not written in the script.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I always tell my actors, if you feel something, let me know and let's try it.
Because
I always like for people to try stuff. You
know? I always imagine actors and actresses, they're like, I was born a writer. What do you think about this line? I think it should be, this is more natural.
Once they have clout, though, they do. I mean, when they have clout, they'll put in their own stuff, and the director will say, no, that's not the script, and they go, well, that's what I'm saying.
I can't tell you who told me this, but there's a Vin Diesel movie where he's like a villain, and there's a scene where he's like...
The pacifier?
No, it's not the pacifier, where he's basically on like one of these... Riddick. I think that's the movie,
okay.
Riddick. So he's on like some kind of, it looks like a jet ski, but it flies and he's flying over water, okay? Now, he's in the water, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't want to get wet. That was his thing. He's like, I don't want to get wet. So CGI had to show him getting wet without him getting in the water.
Oh, God.
And it's like that's the, I mean, those are the things I'm like, wait, what? Like, I can't imagine being a director on a movie like that, and Vin Diesel saying,
crazy.
Yo, I can't get wet. So
especially because who's Vin Diesel? Post.
Yeah, dude.
He had clout like that.
So I just imagine, like, even on like a web series starting out, it doesn't matter. Did you have any actors or actresses that wanted to be more. They wanted to get in your lane too, with as far as the writing of dialogue.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. An actor mm-hmm. that comes on to try to direct, because it's like, you didn't write it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I always think that you have to. You got to turn certain things on and off. You know, when you're an actor, be an actor. You know, mm-hmm. as long as I'm not telling you to get up there and do something that's just out of
right.
you know order. You know, strip naked or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
But you know. I always say just follow directions and do what the director wants you to do, because that's basically who directors want to work with. You know, I always say, you're an actor. If you develop this character and you start to feel something, pull me to the side and ask me, hey, can I try this or that? You know, but as far as an actor trying to direct, when I go on someone else's set, I just do what the director
asks. You're part mm-hmm. of their vision.
Yeah, because yeah.
that's how vision. I think it should be, but it's not always like
they
that.
They know how they want their vision. They right. spent time writing it. And now, as I'm a director, you see how much time that people put into stuff, and it's like, we didn't put the time in for you to come and try to direct it, because
right.
it's like
an right.
insult, you know? So.
I'll tell you one thing. That, you know, what's the Amy Poehler show that was on for years?
Inside Amy Poehler.
Comedy?
The Parks and
Rec? Parks and Rec. Yeah. What they do, every scene that they do, they have a fun run, which is what they call it. And they'll do one whole scene of all improv. And so it'll carry on, and they'll just feed off of each other and joke around.
And see what happens.
Yeah, and sometimes that makes it into the actual show, and sometimes it doesn't. But they always do that, like the last scene. So they've gotten everything in the can, it's done. All right, let's do one fun run. And I find that to be hilarious. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, Larry David, you know, from Seinfeld, he did that on Curb Your Enthusiasm, too. Like, they would do...
Well, that whole show is improv.
Well, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Well, they have guiding
right,
lines.
Right. They have a loose script.
They'll say, "Hey, this is where I want you to, you know, get to in this scene. Go." You know what I mean? So, I wanted to ask you that too. Like, did you have any takes or anything where you were like completely like, get to this point in the dialogue, but get it any way you can through your characters? Were you like, no, this is my spoken word. I spent a long time. You do it this way.
Like I said, I'm never strict like that, because I always feel like the actor and the director, we all play a role in making the vision work. So just like I said, if an actor comes to me and be like, you know, hey, you know, this doesn't sound right, you know, can I try it this way to get to this point? Then I would listen, because I feel like we're all trying to make the vision come to life. So if that actor feels a certain type of way, I'd be like, okay, let's try it. You know, let's do this take and with your opinion, and then let's do it the way that I see, and whichever one I feel like looks better, I'll use it. You know, because I never feel like, because I don't like directors that be like, this is my way and that's it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, right. Because I always feel like actors play an important role too, because they know the character, they're developing the character, and they may come up with a better plan that may be like, I might be like, okay, that looks better. You know, that's a good idea. Let's try.
Right. I think that's great. So yeah. that way, there you continue to learn. Yeah. You don't stuck in your ways and just, you know,
yeah.
say no, it's my way.
Because it might come out better than I imagined.
Right.
You know,
you have to have some expectations, but not complete expectations. Yeah.
Now I wouldn't want nobody to come on and be like, okay, this script is really wrong. Let me do it this way.
Yeah.
Like, no, but you like, know,
we'll I'm have guiding like, lines.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, one of the biggest strengths I think that you wrote into each character, and this is not like what you see in a lot of series, but you showed the good and bad sides of each character mm-hmm. throughout. Every scene. You know what I mean? So you see that maybe there's a character that's a good guy, and then maybe in like a five minutes later, you see him do something or some small moment where they do something suspect. Mm-hmm. Or you see a person that you think is bad find that redemption within themselves and do something. It's small. It's so subtle. But one of the things that I love about that is you see the good and bad. It's like human nature. It's like there's good and bad in everybody, you know? So tell me, like, what was the concept behind bringing that out in your characters?
Just basically, you know, making them seem authentic. You know, there's nobody that's just bad all the time.
Right.
It's good. Even in Lenny, a lot of people think that Lenny is, I can't say because my mom. But, you know, Lenny who he is.
She's like, no, go on. Let's see.
But, you know, he's... Butthole. But he's not a nice guy, but there is good to every character, and even the innocent Sade, you know, which you'll start to see over the season. She's this innocent girl who's Lenny's girlfriend, and everybody feels sorry for her because Lenny went behind her back and deleted her voicemail, so right. she couldn't get that call from the casting director. But, you know, Sade is not as just innocent as she seems, and, you know, one thing my actors love is that their characters develop over time, you know. It's right. not a stagnant thing, you know.
But you bring out that cattiness right. in, like, all the characters.
Yeah.
Even the characters you're like, oh, that's the he's gonna be cool or she's gonna be cool, and then you're like, damn, that was mean, that was cold,
right?
Even in like a quick moment, and it's like, and then they're back to being cool, like yeah. like you. It's hard for the audience member sometimes, like, you know, when you're watching it as a like a spectator, it's like you're taking in this little moment, and the story is moving on, but in your mind, you're like, oh, wait a minute, they did this like one little gesture that wasn't so cool, but you the story's like trucking along, so right. it was kind of cool to see that, you know. Yeah. I want to ask you, like, who are some of your biggest influences as far as directors or writers or actors?
I like Steven Spielberg. I love Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, not just the Madea stuff, but I like his dramas, you know.
Yeah.
The Have and the Have Nots is one of my favorite shows.
Precious, you know, that's a great movie.
Yeah, Precious was good as well. I love Lee Daniels. I haven't watched Empire yet, but I watched my favorite movies of his is The Butler, which came out a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's on my list. I've got that saved.
If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. I'm addicted.
But I'm on Empire. I'm all about Empire. I've been watching that. I'm like caught up.
You've watched every season?
I've watched every season. Except
it lost me. The last episode of the first season, they lost me.
You know what?
Jumped the shark.
I've watched everyone except for the last season finale that just aired like a couple weeks ago. I'm in it.
I liked it at first.
And you know the funny thing is, I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And then I'm like, oh man, I'm in it.
I mean, it's, you know, the music industry.
Yeah,
and,
I love a little bit of drama. You know, yeah, it's like it's great.
I love drama.
Yeah. Me too, man. It's crazy. It's like I try to convince myself like I'm cool. And then I'm like, man, I'm into it. And Lee Butler, he started out as kind of like a writer, right?
Yeah, he started out as a writer, and he's created a lot of good stuff. I think I started tuning in with Precious because he had something to do with Precious. I think he directed that. And then when I saw one of my favorite actors, Forest Whitaker, in The Butler, I was like, oh, okay, I gotta keep watching and see what he does next. So,
all right, so you mentioned directors and writers. What about actors?
Forest Whitaker is my favorite actor. I love actors that play.
You kind of look like him.
Do I?
Yeah.
That's vibe, man.
I feel like you do.
I need to play a center. Yeah.
You're like, casting agents, I'm ready.
Denzel Washington, of course. I love actors that portray different characters and not just those who stick to certain type of, you know, characters.
Yeah.
But they expand and develop over time. Actresses, of course, Angela Bassett. I love Leonardo DiCaprio. Different people.
All greats.
Tom Cruise. Yeah. So I can go on.
And did you draw from any, like, things that you wanted to see in your characters from any of their performances? Like you said, Forrest Whitaker. Like, the funny thing is, he is one of the most tremendous actors
mm-hmm.
out there.
Right.
I've never heard somebody put him
at the number. No, but I feel like he's underrated.
He's underrated.
Too.
Yeah, he's totally underrated, dude. And, I mean, for him to do Fast Times at Ridgemont High and then King of Scotland,
King of Scotland.
I mean, what a range. You have to have range to do those kind of roles. And yet, he's not on people's number one. Mm-hmm. He's usually like number seven, number eight. So it's interesting that you chose him. Yeah. Did you draw from like his characters or like his range when you were developing your characters?
Yeah, you know, I love a lot of his different characters that he played because I remember seeing him in the first movie I ever seen him in. I was scared of him in Jason Lyrics, which he played the drunk father in there. And just seeing him develop over time, and also he inspired me to write as well because I saw him acting in the beginning and then he started writing, which he contributed to the movie The Waiting to Excel, which is my mom's favorite movie.
Which movie?
Waiting to Excel.
Oh yeah, that's what Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett, right?
Yeah, so yeah, just taken from him, and also taken from Tyler Perry, who I said was one of my favorite writers. Watching The Have and the Have Nots kind of inspired me to create, you know, a drama, because I watch dramas all the time and I'm like, I can do this. I need to write me a drama because I'm like, it'll be just as good as this. So that inspired me to actually.
I love that you've been like super proactive about just, you know, getting your stuff out there. And, like, right. you know, the funny thing is Deontay emailed me a bunch of times. He's like, hey, man, can we schedule something? And I was like, man, I totally, like, I had so much compassion for how, like, how much heart you have to push your project through. And I was like, yes, let's book this because I feel you. I've been there, man. It's right. just like, I get it. I have one little Forest Whitaker story. So I play Sundance every year, mm-hmm. and he produced the movie Dope. So he, oh, okay. I never met I didn't him. Know that. Yeah. Oh, so this oh, yeah. is what is awesome about Forest Whitaker. So I'm watching this movie. It's about a 90s kind of, it's kind of like a gangster, almost like a drug comedy heist movie.
But like a high school sweetheart type movie
yeah,
as well.
Totally a high school sweetheart movie. Zoe Kravitz is in it. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. Yeah. It's one of the heralded movies at Sundance. And then when they brought the people up, they said that Forest Whitaker was the reason the movie got made. That he was the one that was like, I want to fund this. I want to produce it. I want to pull people together. And, like, I already loved Forest Whitaker, but I'm like, I love you, Forest
Whitaker.
Yeah,
I didn't know he produced that.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the part of art that you're already ahead of the game when, as far as, like, your grasp on how you want to be proactive and how you want to write, create, build a team, build momentum, see things through, start something else, bring more people together. Now, for your future projects, are you going to use a lot of the same cast? Are you going to completely abandon the cast and start anew? How are you going to – what's your game plan?
Well, a lot of the cast see that I'm proactive. So they were like because I know I've advertised a lot on my Facebook of projects that I've completed, which I'm going to start a new web series next year. So I have two web series I'm going to be juggling, of course, and another film that I'm going to do next year. And I want to keep the cast separate because I want to keep my Price of Fame cast separate from my other cast. And I always like to meet new actors.
You just heard hearts breaking all over the L.A. Basin.
Yeah, you know, of course I'm going to be bringing new characters in for the Price of Fame, but I like to keep that cast separate and, you know, give other actors another opportunity when I do my web series because I like to meet new people because you just never know who you're working with.
For sure.
You know? Right. So I always like to kind of grab new people and put postings up and have an entire new cast because somebody's out there waiting for an opportunity. Yeah. So it's like,
I agree.
I'm blessed to be able to give other people an opportunity.
And you never know what one of those people are going to be. Like I used to always say when I was, you know, I spent some time on set doing PA work or some acting work. And I used to always say, well, I'm going to be nice to this PA because this PA someday might be a director or a producer. Right. And so, I don't know, I always went with that mentality because I feel like you never know where anyone's going to go and they could be helping you out in the future.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, and just being pleasant will get you work in future stuff.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like one of those things that's like, why
no one wants to work by an asshole, yeah.
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 So, butthole. Say that again. Deontay butthole. Said butthole, okay?
You must bow down to the almighty bunghole.
Exactly. That's very true because I've seen it a lot. You know, I try to be pleasant with everybody I work with because you just never know who you're working mm-hmm. with. And
true.
You never know where people are going. Sometimes people tend to look down on other people, you know, because they're not where they're at or they don't have as much experience as they do. It's like, you know, we have to treat everyone the same because, you know, we got to.
I like your vibe, Deontay. Yeah. So if people want to get involved with your performances, your productions, if they wanted to audition for you, how would they get a hold of you?
I usually post my castings on Actors Access and LA Casting. I also, you know, connect with me on Facebook. I always put my castings on there. And
spell your name out for people just so and people are dumb, so do it real slow because I know people are dumb.
Okay, the first name is Deontay, so it's D as in dog, E as in egg, O as in oval, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, E as in egg again, and last name is Bolden, B as in boy, O as in oval again, L as in land, D as in dog, E as in egg again, and N as in Nancy.
So very nice. Very nicely nice. Done.
No one can fool that.
Yeah, see? And you know what? You gave people time to get paper and a pen. Right. You know, they're like you could have sounded one letter like a B, and it was, D as in dog. Yeah. All right, D. That was solid, dude. Nice job. All right, so where can people find your web series?
Web series is on YouTube. It's going to be on a page where I'm going to be putting all of my projects on there. YouTube.com and then /DBOLDEN. 89 on YouTube. And you can just type in the Price of Fame web series and it'll pop right up because I searched it myself to see how
nice.
Actually, that's how I watched it the first time. You actually sent links and I like didn't even see the links on the email, and I just searched for it, and I found it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And you see all of them. I was like, oh man, this guy's way into it. I got to catch up. You know, it was cool.
And do you have a website now that you want to?
I haven't. Well, I have a website for my acting, but I'm still working together with my crew to get an actual website for the web series. Well,
what's your website for acting? You never know if there's a director that's like, let's get him on
Wix. It's because everybody's on Wix. So it's www.wix.com/DeontayBolden, just like I spell, and it'll pop right up.
You said Wix, W-I-C-K-S?
No.
W-I-X.com.
See, I would have thought it was W-I-C-K-S.
Yeah, because people were like, go on Wix. I was like, I need a website. So I'm working on actually getting my own website soon. So
cool.
I can start promoting.
Awesome.
Well, Deontay, you're going to have to come back for season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, man. Yes,
the next web series. The next web series.
I'm all.
And when is the, just so our listeners know, when is the Miami Web Fest?
Well, apparently I'm not going to be able to go because I'm going to be filming and plus finances right now. But it's going to be in October. The end of September is going to run the end of September to the beginning of October. And I'm nominated. I don't know how many awards I'm nominated for. They said close to that time. I'll figure it out. They'll let me know. But we're nominated for an award, and we're actually going to be in the web fest.
So. That's awesome. Nice. Well, you got a great title. You got a great outlook. Yeah. We wish you all the best. Thank you for coming by and being a guest, man, and being flexible, too.
No problem.
We all appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
It's very nice to meet you.
All right. Deontay Bolden, on behalf of Josh Ledoux, I'm Nikki Carulla. We'll see you next week.